Well, we're really excited that you're all here, and we hope that you'll be able to learn a lot from this presentation. At our missions conference a few years ago, one of our missionaries stood up in front of over 2,000 people and said, the biggest obstacle to missions is you parents. Secretly, you don't want your kids to leave home and go to the mission field. So, you know, in this shocked silence, I was like, go, Woody. So I feel like maybe this presentation should have a big sticker on it that says, like the ones on the cigarette packages, warning, if you follow some of the practices of this presentation, your kids may end up going to the mission field. But we'll see that the mission field is really everywhere you are, and so they may not actually have to leave home. And raising a missions-minded family is actually biblical. We all know the iconic verse, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So raising a biblical, a mission-minded family is a biblical command, and Hudson Taylor has the famous quote, the Great Commission is not an option to be considered, it is a command to be obeyed. The Bible is all about mission, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, and it's not limited to the Great Commission. Acts says, for this is what the Lord has commanded. I have made you a light for the Gentiles that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. And the Old Testament, proclaim his salvation day after day, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all the peoples. So both of us have these missionary prayer card boards in our homes where we've put up pictures of missionaries that we support or missionaries that we know so that we'll remember to pray for them. And praying for missionaries is one of the most important things you can do. Now, most of them now have magnetic cards so you can set it up on your fridge, and it doesn't have to be fancy. My first one was this giant piece of purple felt, and I cut out the letters P-R-A-Y in white felt and glued them on, and then they kind of all fell off, and gradually my husband said one day, honey, do you think they know what this is for? Since the letters had disappeared. But you can use their prayer letters to pray meaningfully for them. And when you pray for someone, you just start to feel closer to them and you start to anticipate the answers to their prayers. And it'll just naturally lead you to want to support them financially. And even if you contribute just a small amount, you'll really feel invested in them and it'll increase your interest in what they're doing. So involve your whole family. When our kids were little, they had one of those little banks, and you put one section was for church and missions, and the other one was for saving, and the other one was for spending. And now my kids support friends who've gone to the mission field or their own organizations that they feel committed to. You can read missionary biographies to your kids. Now, we weren't as intentional as Jennifer's family because she has, I think, the... You show them the books here. She's got the whole box set of this mission biography series.
I brought a couple to show you.
So they're, you know, they're thrilling stories of how the gospel is advanced around the world. You'll read about how God used people to build his church. And then when you read them, you're going to see over and over and over again how God has answered prayer. Africa Inland Mission was started in the answer to Hudson Taylor's prayer. He wrote in his Bible, at Brighton, June 25th, 1865, prayed for 24 willing, skillful laborers for China. And from that, AIM has grown into one of the largest mission organizations. The passion that people like Eric Little, Jim and Elizabeth Elliott had for the gospel is gonna inspire your family. They left their families, they endured hardship, illness, harsh conditions, and even death to take the gospel to those who had never heard it before. Helen Roosevelt was captured and tortured when she spent time in the Congo, and yet she would say, the cost suddenly seems very small and transient in the greatness and permanence of the privilege. Some of them never came home. You'll read about the different ways that God calls people to missionary service, and these stories are also about how God uses our weaknesses and how he is strong through them. So you'll see, and your children will see, how God uses just ordinary people like you and me, people who had failures and yet persevered through the hard times. Gladys Allward apparently flunked out of missionary language school. And they said, you know, you're not gonna be able to cut it with us. And they kind of dismissed her from mission school. But she used her own personal money and booked passage on a train to get to China, where she eventually became a Chinese citizen.
So I think another, something that we did with our kids is we sponsored a child. And it's just a simple way, I think, that your children can identify with a child somewhere else that's their age. We started doing that when our kids were really small, and we've kept it up. We've had different kids because for different reasons sometimes, you know, there was a natural disaster one time in one of the places where our sponsored child was, and World Vision actually wrote us and said that the community had been destroyed. And it was our family, we were just like, what? Well, what about? Because we felt like we knew that little boy. You know, we had him for a couple of years. But what we've done is we've kept their pictures up. I've kept it in front. When my kids were younger, they would write letters. They look forward to it. My kids are mostly at college now. I only have one home, but I still keep it up and I keep it in front of us. So this is the inside of my pantry door. It's where we keep all of our important information I'm trying to get by. So you can't go in there and get something to eat without seeing the children that we sponsor, keeping it before, you know, them all the time.
You can pray for the world, and Operation World has really great resources, but it'll give your kids a worldview as they start to learn about what it's like to live in another country and what it's like for Christians in some of these other countries, because we know it's a hardship there, and people are not always able to openly express their faith and have the freedom that we have here in the United States, and they'll learn about the lack of religious freedom, about persecution. You can use this, the book that's there on the right, it's set up to, so you can use it as a prayer guide, and you can pray for a different country every day, and it gives basic information about demographics, religion, the economy, population, and then they've done extensive research and data gathering, and it goes into the sections on prayer that can inform your prayer, and it includes answers to prayer already in that country and the challenges to prayer that Christians face there. Windows on the World is the age-appropriate version for your kids. And in this, oops, they have, this is the a sample of the of that book, and you can see it's more kid-friendly, and they just have facts, and they actually have more directed prayer. Operation World also has other resources. If you go online, you can click and learn about all different countries. They sell a giant map of the world. We have a friend who, for his birthday, asked for a giant wall map, and I mean giant. It covers an entire wall of their house, and it was laminated so he can use it as kind of a dry erase board. And he loves to put all the places of the missionaries they support, and he's got their little names. And then when anybody that he knows, like us as friends, goes on a short-term mission trip, he loves to just write their little name in there and put a big arrow to the country that it supports. And it just reminds him to pray for his friends as they're traveling around the world. Oops, don't say, I'm not really good with this clicker here. Our missions pastor is always running around saying missions is global. So global, which I think we all think of as missions is traveling all the way around the world, but missions is also local. Missions is wherever you are, and you can be a missionary even in your own home. The Children's Heart Project, which is with Samaritan's Purse, brings children and their moms and a translator from another country to hospitals in the United States. And I know that there's a hospital in Houston that has sponsored children the last few years. They bring them over here for life-saving heart surgery because they can't do that in Mongolia. And they ask churches to partner with them and host the family and the translator in their home. There's daily Bible studies. Most of these mothers become Christians while they're here. We've hosted Mongolians in our home twice, and it's really fun. You learn all about what life is like there. They cook for you, so you'll experience food from another culture. And they're really, really open to the gospel. We've hosted a family from Iraq who came for plastic surgery, and she was a teenager, so my kids had a really good time doing all this girl stuff with her. And in Rochester, we sponsor this Children's Heart Project, so every year kids come from Bolivia or from Mongolia.
I wanted to mention one more resource to you if you have really small kids. There's a book called Raising Grateful Kids in an Entitled World. And it's by, she's a friend of mine named Kristen Welch. She wrote the book before she was, I just became acquainted with her in the last year. But it's a great resource because I think we do live in an entitled world and our kids are so used to getting what they want, when they want it, right then. And I think it's just a really great parenting book that helps you kind of step back and think, how do I be intentional about teaching my kids gratitude for what they have? And she also has some great resources, these little kits. So this is kind of for younger kids, but it's a kit for a country. And you open it up and there's a prayer card. She'll give you ideas about foods you can cook and helping your kids identify. It has little facts in it like, how much they get to eat a day, how much it costs. So it really helps them identify on their level. But it also talks about hospitality in the book. And kind of like Janet said, I think that we have to slow down as parents and teach our kids hospitality by doing it. Anytime that we have a missionary that we have known or we have come acquainted with somewhere, we ask them, tell us when your kids are in town. We want to have them over. You know, missionaries are on a limited budget. So if you can host their kids in your house or host them in your house, or you just be open to that. And I think when you model that for your kids, they know, oh, I got to give my bed up. And that's not that big of a deal. You know, our kids are in single beds in their own bedrooms. And it's okay for them to go sleep with their brother or sister or throw a bunch of blow-ups together and show them to sacrifice and give up and to be hospitable. But I think that starts with us as parents by modeling that.
The other thing you can do is invite foreign students from your home. I'm sure at Baylor there are a lot of foreign students here, and just inviting them to your home to see what American life is like, and you'll learn a lot about them. We had a young man from Africa live with us for almost a year. He came from Tenwick Hospital to learn how to be a cytotechnologist. And he was really inspiring to our children. He took his studies very, very seriously. He'd come upstairs, have dinner. He'd go back downstairs and study. And the kids would always say, you know, Bernard, how is it going? And he'd say, I only got a B+ on the last test. I have to get all A's. So it was a really great experience for our family to have him in our house for a whole year. And there is in this picture here, he's graduating with his diploma. Well, one of the best things you can do to create a missions mindset in your family is to serve together as a family. Everyone can't go overseas, but you can serve together right where you are. Our family chose an organization in Rochester so that we could actually serve together as a family. And so we would spend Saturdays tutoring in a children's program with this organization, Next Chapter Ministries. And, you know, once they get you in the door, they kind of get you for everything. So you got to be careful. But we had a really great time with them. And in Rochester, a lot of the churches came together and organized something called Care Fest, which was an event. They labeled it Care Fest, Sharing the Love of Jesus. And so hundreds of volunteers went on a short-term mission trip that day to places in the city they had never been before. And so they cleaned churches. They cleaned churches, repaired low-income residents' housing. They repaired schools, cleaned up a college. And it was a really great thing for families to be able to do together. So a short-term trip, another option for a short-term trip would be to actually just go someplace in the United States. You can, World Vision has a lot of resources for helping, like for instance in Appalachia, you can go and help with repairing low-income housing there, and I know that they have a booth here in the exhibitor hall.
You know, I think more is caught than taught, and so I think the best way really to model for your family is to do it with them, just like Janet said, and locally, I think going on a global trip is excellent. It's wonderful. It's a great goal, but it's very expensive to travel, and you know that. And you take your children, but there is so much that can be learned just by serving together locally. I know our church has a lot of outreaches. If your church doesn't, you need to be proactive and find those things in your community, ways that you can serve together. Since the time my kids were little, we've tried to go to the food bank together. Then my kids ended up driving themselves to the food bank and help them find that thing that they love to do. This is actually a picture of my son. It's several years ago. But for a long time, our church had monthly outreaches. And even when Paul and I wouldn't go, he'd be like, I got to be there. You got to get me there. And I think they catch that, you know, because we did it with them for years. And then even when Paul and I wouldn't participate in something, they wanted to go. We've done 5Ks. We've done A21 walks with our kids, just exposing them. It doesn't have to be, you're exposing them to a cause and that they're doing something for that cause. They're raising money. They're being a part of that. You know, Houston, we had Hurricane Harvey hit a couple of months ago, and cleanup is actually still going on. And, you know, Paul and I were so involved with things going on here at the church, and our kids were calling saying, where do we go? What do we do? And we were like, oh, let's, you know, and they were ready to put on their boots and go out. And so I think when you start young and you're taking them with you, it's funny how it reverses roles, and you later, they're like, where can we go? What can we do? How can we serve? And so I think it just starts by modeling it, by talking to them, but really doing it with them teaches them that it's part of your lifestyle. I think that's how you create a mission-minded, a globally aware, is you're doing it with them. You're talking about it, just like Janet was saying. You're reading books, you're praying, but you're doing something. I think that's the next step beyond just talking.
We have both taken our families on short-term trips overseas because we're fortunate enough to have husbands who are doctors and serve overseas. And Jennifer said it's expensive, but we've managed to save our resources, and that's what we do as a family, is we do these things locally and we do these things globally.
So we went on our first trip in 2007, and it's been 10 years. And one thing that I wanted to share is that first our kids didn't really have a choice. I mean, I think they wanted to go, but they went because that's what we decided we were going to do as a family. But I think one of the things that has really blessed me now 10 years later is to watch my children as adults now serve. So we landed in Zambia probably, I think it was 2 years ago, we took our whole family again, and I was taking a 21-year-old, you know, they're adults, they're in college, and we landed, and it wasn't me saying, where are you going to plug in? Or what are you going to do? I mean, by the next day, my daughter, who is in nursing school now, was working in the pharmacy. My other daughter had said, oh, yeah, I've already gone down to admin, and I'm going to help them get their files straight. My other two kids were, hey, we're going to go down to the school. We're going to tutor. So for those whole 6 weeks, my kids every day got up, and they went to a job. So it wasn't me helping them figure out what they were going to do. It was, we're here now. We're going to figure out how to plug in. So I think for me, knowing, oh, they've got it. They know that's what you do. You go, you serve. It's independent now from Paul and I, whether it's here or whether it's there.
And as Jennifer was saying, you know, as they get older, they find their own thing to do, or they become more independent when you go. So our kids, I think, you know, because of the way we've raised them, they have this missions mindset, or they have this heart for the underserved, and they see the need in the world. So our children the two oldest were in college, and they were all very intentional about doing missions-related work. They went on their kind of first trip without us, apart from their high school trips. They went to Honduras, and at the time, there was a big, huge thing with drugs or something there, and so we were actually a little worried, and we called a friend, and we said, should they actually be going? Because a bunch of the kids on the trip had actually pulled out. Their parents had said, you cannot go anymore. And they were going because they were working with a fair trade coffee growers group at Wheaton College, and they were going to go visit their farmers. So, you know, our friend said, if they can just get in and out of the Capitol really fast, don't have American flags on their backpacks, then they'll probably be okay. And so they went, and, you know, of course, the college sends you a ton of information about what to do in an emergency and that they're not going to pay for hostages. And I personally, as the mom, was freaking out. But Mark was, like, very calm and relaxed. He's like, he just told the girls, you know, just get in and out, kind of keep a low profile. Well, they went and had an absolutely wonderful time. I'm sure it's a trip that they'll never forget. But, you know, they've seen these things. And so when they were in college, Rich Stearns went and spoke at their college because his son went there. And that was when he published the book, The Hole in Our Gospel. And after they read that, they were struck by this thing in the book. The theme over and over in his book was how far women and children have to walk for water. And I know there's an organization here that's got these big yellow containers. A big bucket of water like that apparently weighs about 45 pounds. And they carry that for over a mile. So they've got you just going around the building here. And I don't think I could do it. But they said, we're going to do something about this. We're going to, you know, I said, girls, you need to fix the clean water problem. And all these girls walking for water because they need to be going to school instead. So they organized a walk in our community with our church called Walk for Water. And they, you know, met with the pastor, they organized it, set the whole thing up. And so they did that for several years, and every year they would send the money to a different organization that was working with clean water issues in the developing world.
You know, that reminded me when Janet said that, what Gary said last night, you can be safe or you can be brave, but you can't be both. And when she was saying that, I mean, I think as parents, we naturally want to tell our kids to be safe. What do we say when they go out the door? I'm always like, be careful, be careful. but I think as believers, really there's something there for parents. I'm so off, I'm sorry. There's something there for parents though, because what do I really want to teach my kids? I want to teach them to be brave. I want to teach them to step out. I want to teach them to say yes, no matter what the cost is. So I think when they're young, to start thinking about that, yes, I want them to be safe, but ultimately I want them to be obedient to what God calls them to do, and that's not always safe. And so I commend you too. I know I've sent my kids places before too, and I'm like, oh, you know, but that's why we get on our knees and we pray that God will protect them. But I love teaching our kids the concept, like Paul was talking about, of holy discontent. I love that. And Janet, I hear she did that with the water. I know for us, years ago, this is a picture of my oldest daughter. It was a long time ago. And we served in an orphanage several times, and every time we would go, we would take our own books because they didn't have any books to read. And if they did pull out one, the pages were ripped, they were, you know, they had been water damaged. And so she kept coming to me and she was saying, can we leave our books that we brought? Absolutely. So we would talk about it, and she just couldn't believe they didn't have books, you know, because at home we have walls of books, don't you? You have all these books. And so I said, well, what do you want to do about it? And she said, me? What am I going to do about it? I don't know. What are you going to do about it? Like, why don't you and your sisters get together and figure out what you can do about this? And so making them think, I don't like this. I don't like what I'm seeing. What can I do about it? So they came back. They organized a walk here. It was the very first walk at our church called a walk-a-thon. It was with our kids' ministry. They raised $5,000, got books donated. We took them back with us, which was quite a feat, by the way. I would rethink getting boxes of books to Kenya again. But you know what? It didn't matter. We did it. And then we had a team from our church come over and build these shelves. The money paid for the shelves. We took donated books. And I think it was an aha moment, actually, for all of us, even for me. I just went, wow. Like, so teaching our kids, like, be the change that you want to see. If you see something, so, you know, I think Paul, last night, we all felt called to that. Like, how can I make a difference? What's my holy discontent? But I think we can actually teach that to our children when they're small. What do you see that you want to change?
So where are they now? At this point, none of our children has made a commitment to go to the mission field in the traditional sense, but I feel like at least my children, and I know Jennifer's children too, just having met some of them, they take that responsibility to spread the love and the hope of Jesus very seriously, and their mission field right now is at home. Our oldest daughter has chosen a path and has always been focused on what can I do so that I can go back to Africa. And we had taken them there when they were 4, 6, and 8, and they came back and they were, we're going to go back and live in Africa when we grow up, and we're going to open a rainbow cafe. I don't know what they were going to sell there, but that was their dream for many, many years. And Hillary has, she went to Wheaton and she switched her major 3 times and was all about, what am I going to do so I can get back to doing something in the developing world? So she spent 6 months at Tenwick living with the whites, thank you, Russ and Beth, and that was very transformative for her. She came back home and she knew exactly what she was going to do. She's now in a PhD program in public health at in North Carolina, doing epidemiology and global health, and she's very focused. Even we were just talking to her this week, she's like, yeah, I'm trying to figure out if I should work in Malawi or what I should do this summer, because it's all about going back and working in Africa for her. Elise, the youngest, is working in Nashville, Tennessee with Teach for America, and that is a mission field. Every single call home, there's been a lot of tears and crying. She works in a school where they can't get enough teachers. Teachers quit the first week that she was there. She has one of her students has had several family members and friends be shot dead. They don't have parents at home. A lot of her kids are being raised by grandparents. The parents are drug addicts, or the kid was a crack baby. And most of them are on free and reduced lunch. So she's, you know, at a job, but she's serving in a place where a lot of people don't want to serve.
So our kids all have a desire to serve, but not all globally, but they have that desire in them. Our oldest is in graduate nursing school, and I think she probably will take some short-term trips and use her gifts in that way. But my next two daughters are in college, and they found their way to serve there, and they know that they'll use their gifts for missions in some way, but that may not be, you know, going away. One of my daughters is very compassionate, and something happened when we were on a missions trip that actually showed her kind of what her path was going to be, and she wants to go into counseling. And you know, I think when you get them out of their comfort zone, God actually shows them what their gifts and their talents, and He puts them on a path, or that He weaves it into part of, you know, what their story is. But my next two daughters are actually in college right now. The minute they hit college, we didn't say, hey, what are you going to go get involved in? But one of them, you know, they came home at Christmas, and one said, hey, I'm on this international leadership. I've joined this committee. Now she's leading in that, a human trafficking task force. And we're like, whoa, you know. But they have that in them. They're globally minded. That's the goal. That's what we're saying. Teach your kids that it's bigger than your house, your neighborhood, your city, than Texas. Like, this is a world we live in, and we're working together for a common good. You know, I think we've always tried to teach our kids the mission field is the space between your feet. That's what they need to know. If that's at college, if that's in their high school, if that's in their middle school, or that's in Tanzania, that's your mission field. And so teaching them that the people around them, that's their assignment to love and spread the love of God.
So I think that we're actually done. So does anybody have any questions?
For children or for parents?
There was the Operation World book, the children's version, which is called Window on the World, and you just go to operationworld.org. But then there was the one for parents that you mentioned that teaches them to not be entitled.
Yeah. It's called Raising Grateful Kids in an Entitled World. And the books, it's interesting. You know, Janet and I have only known each other a couple of years, but the books that she had and the books that I have, they were the same. And so there are resources out there. There's not tons of resources, but they're good resources. And so, you know, I think that the books that she mentioned, these biographies, they're kind of a middle school age biography, but they're just starting points. Like I said, we can read a book. It's really about what we're doing and what we're teaching them. But it starts with those teaching moments.
I think it's probably true in your family too. Our kids kind of grew up thinking, well, this is what everybody does. Yeah. I mean, everybody takes their kids to Africa. And, you know, I think our kids did know that everybody in church didn't go to Africa, but, you know, they're grown up and they meet people and, you know, they kind of talk about their childhood and people will say, you guys went to Africa as a family? And they were like, oh, I guess that's more unusual than we thought. So I think a lot of the things they did, they just thought, oh, that's just what you do. It's the Children's Heart Project, and they actually have a booth here in the exhibit hall as well.
What do you guys use for, or have used for years, like for like family devotion time, and using other resources that you guys really love for
you? No. Well, you know, I'm sure there are some great ones out there. We've always, does everybody in here know a missionary? Like, do you know somebody in the field? You don't have to, but if you don't know a missionary, if you don't know them, find somebody that you can support, even if it's in prayer. Because I think when it becomes personal like that, that is the greatest devotion that you can have. Because then you share their struggles. You share their, I'll give you an example. We went to Tenwick for years. We knew a lot of missionaries there. They just had a fire. And it burned down one of their buildings. And you know, that
deeply, like, my kids were moved by that. They knew that. They knew the people that that affected. Or we've known couples that have had different things happen to them, and then suddenly you're praying for people that you know. You have their photo, and I know there are probably some good resources out there. Like I said, Kristen has these kits for kids, and I know they have prayer points in them, and you can pray for different countries. That's even a great start. But that's a great thing, is if you don't know a missionary, you're at a great place. Don't leave this weekend without meeting a missionary and getting, they have these cards. That's what we had up. And again, Janet said, hey, do you have, she was just guessing. She was like,
Oh, no, I knew you would have one.
Okay.
Yeah, I knew you would have one.
She said, hey, do you have a board or anything in your hand? I was like, oh, yeah. She was like, send me a photo of it.
I
snapped a photo.
Get your phone, just take pictures of it. But we actually have a live missionary in the room right here from Kendrick Hospital. Russ White there is at the back. Come on, Russ, stand up. You came to the dock. You know, you're going to get picked on. So Russ and his family have served at Tenwick for, I mean, like a zillion years. I don't know. You know, that we went and they had been there for years when our kids were 4, 6, and 8. Now they're in their 20s. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, but you know, missionaries are real people with real problems and real lives and real needs and real wives and husbands and kids just like us. And so everything that we go through, I think, you know, and they're serving sometimes without the resources that we have, without the you know, things are, there's a great blessing, but there is a great, there are obstacles that they have too. And so to know that you can bear that burden with them, I think is a great blessing. And so that's what I would encourage you, and to bring your kids alongside. It's not enough. I mean, Paul and I have shared that with our children. And so when you can identify, that's like sponsoring a child. That's a simple way to start. But again, it does require a financial contribution, but don't just give your money. People tell me all the time they sponsor a child. And I'm like, oh, that's great. Like, where and this and that? And they're like, And I'm like, man, if they're just drawing $35 out of your bank account every month and you don't know where and you're not sharing that with your child, I don't even know if you're really, I think you can do so much better than that. So I would encourage you, at least get that photo up and talk to your children about that child and where they live and what they must be going through, and open those letters. We used to open the letters and, or, you know, read them, and my kids would write them letters and we'd send them back. And I don't do that as much anymore. I mean, I'll be very honest because I don't have any small, but they delight in that. When we get a new photo, we got a new photo of one of our kids the other day, and, you know, my 20-somethings are like, oh, look how big he's gotten, you know, Taya. And I'm like, I know. So I think it just all makes a difference. But I know you're all great parents, and it takes a little effort, but I think raising your children to have a global mindset, to be mission-minded, serves them well to be able to say yes to God in every part of their life, because they're aware of what God's doing in the world, not just where they are.
And I, you know, Jennifer mentioned before, it just becomes part of your lifestyle. I mean, our kids grew up and there was like always somebody staying in our home, or, you know, like we had the Children's Heart Project kids, so people were sharing their bedroom with somebody else because they had to be in their rooms. And so they just get used to it. And then it makes them more aware globally. So we'll get messages from our kids saying, oh, look what's happening in Kenya, because now they know people who live there and they see this is what's happening and what, you know, how are our friends there doing?